Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to 1 Kings chapter number 20. 1 Kings chapter number 20. And I'll begin a new series with you tonight. Something that's been on my heart for quite some time. Didn't know where it was going to fit in. I have a couple things that I kind of put seed thoughts in. A couple documents, a couple files, and always looking through those files as far as what the Lord would have me preach next and where those things would fit into the messages. And this particular series, I think, fits in real well right here. It's a series on the valleys in the Bible. The valleys in Scripture. There are mountains in Scripture, and there are valleys in Scripture. And I'm reminded that God is both the God of the valleys, and He's also the God of the mountains. And it's interesting, we read in 1 Kings chapter 20, the Syrians are wanting to do battle with Israel, wanting to take Israel out. They have at least 127,000 people that are at battle, because that's how many they lost in this battle. And the Syrians said of the Lord, in verse number 28 of 1 Kings 20, "And there came a man of God, a prophet, and spake unto the king of Israel," who was Ahab at the time. Boy, Ahab was not probably in right standing with God too many days of his life. But he was king of Israel at the time. "And the prophet, the man of God, came to him and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Two reasons God gave Israel victory in this particular battle. One was because the Syrians said, God, you're not the God of the valleys. You're only the God of the mountains. The other reason was that Ahab would know that God is the Lord, that he is Jehovah. And so, you read verse number 29, into verse number 29, the children of Israel slew of the Syrians and 100,000 footmen in one day. Now, brethren, that's a slaughter. I'm not sure I've been alive on a day where 100,000 people have died in one day. But it happened here. 100,000, Israel slew 100,000. Look at verse number 30. "But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there was a wall fell upon them, 27,000 of the men that were left." Wall fell upon them, killed all of them. 127,000 people died like that. What was one of the reasons? Oh, the Syrians said, God, you're a God of the hills, but you're not a God of the valleys. And I'm here to argue tonight that God is a God of the mountains and the valleys. He's God in both. I'm often asked this question, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Or why does God allow bad things to happen to people at all? Why are people unhappy in a miserable marriage? Why does God allow that to happen? Why and how does a child become so seriously ill? Watch a little one go through such difficult trouble. Why does a person's death linger on and on and on? Why does an innocent person suffer because of someone else's sins as a drunk driver comes across the middle lane and claims the lives of a whole family? Why, preacher? How does this happen? I think one of the answers is simply valleys and mountains. Life is filled with mountains and valleys. The mountain experiences are great. The things we tend to look forward to, the things we rejoice over. But the valleys are perhaps the most important times of our lives. Could be in the valleys that we learn the most. Did you ever look at the life of Christ from the perspective of mountaintops and valleys? Another preacher put it in this perspective. I don't usually do something verbatim from another preacher, but I couldn't put it any better than what he did. Mountaintop, he was baptized. God's voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Spirit descended upon him like a dove, certainly a mountaintop in the life of Christ. Soon after that, Satan tempted him in the desert valley. Jesus healed and blessed the lives of many. Man, could you imagine being able to cause somebody to see? Having the power to make somebody see that could not see? I mean, in an instant. Could you imagine a lame man rising up? You telling him to rise up and he rises up. Could you imagine Mary and Martha with Lazarus who's dead, been in the grave and stinks, and he calls him forth and look at the reaction of Mary and Martha on their faces. Jesus, talk about mountaintops. He had them. But then he had the religious leaders corner him and try to catch him in a trap and question him with all kinds of wicked motives. Valley, valley. Great times of teaching. Sermon on the Mount, probably the greatest sermon was ever preached, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. But no honor in his hometown. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Flourishing ministry. My, John the Baptist runs and paves the way before him. Then he has the opportunity to invest in those 12 disciples for 3 years and see them really turn the world upside down after he ascends to heaven. But he also found out John was beheaded. Valley, valley. Triumphal entry. Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of Kings. Then multiple trials where he's falsely accused and set up. The very next week, valley, valley. Last Supper, precious time, but then betrayed by Judas right during that time, valley. Huh. Christ had mountaintops and he had valleys. I plan to, in this series, lead you to a number of different valleys in the Scripture and tell you what happened in the valleys. And what the valleys represent. Did you know that valleys make mountaintop experiences sweeter? When you've been in the valley, the mountain is a little sweeter. Did you know that valleys are between mountaintops? Valleys are between mountaintops. You know, the valleys are sometimes just over the next mountain. I think of our graduates that have just graduated. Big, big mountaintop, right? Big mountaintop. But then, probably a valley coming somewhere, because life is full of mountains and valleys. That's life. I think of Emily Hoxie, had the baby. Joy, joy, joy. And boy, they've been through some valleys, haven't they? Been through some valleys on the backside of that. Life's like that, isn't it? Mountains. Think of the weddings that are about ready to occur. Mountains. But I know life won't go very far down the road and there'll be a valley somewhere. Because life's full of mountains and valleys. Could it be possible that we learn more in the valleys than we do on the mountains? Is that possible? Could it be possible that in the valley, it's the place where we learn to delight maybe more in the Lord? You know, I thought Michelle's testimony tied right in with what we're talking about tonight. You know, valley. But valley meant having time with the Lord that maybe wasn't as rushed. Did you hear that? Did you hear that tonight? The valleys, they do produce some things that are good. Could it be that we sense we are closer to the Lord in the valley? Could it be that we trust God with our path more when we cannot see in the fog of the valley? Did you know there's the valley of Siddim? There's the valley of Eshcol. There's the valley of Kidron. There's the valley of Elah. There's the valley of Achor. There's the valley of Jezreel. There's the valley of Gehenna. There's the valley of Baca. There's the valley of dry bones. There's the valley of Gerar. There's the valley of Lebanon. We'll look at some of these in the coming weeks. And there's some rich truths to mine out from these valleys in the Scriptures. You say, preacher, what are the refreshing truths tonight of the valley? Number one, the plan of God includes the valley. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63, I'll move quickly. What's refreshing about studying the valley is that the plan of God includes the valley. You ever been deer hunting and had to drag a deer up a mountain? And then, ooh, I get to go down the mountain. Or up a little slope, and then you get to go down. Here in Isaiah 63, the Bible says in verse number 14, look at it closely if you will, as a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord causeth him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. What is the plan of God for the valley? Because certainly the plan of God includes the valley in our lives. Whose idea was it for the beast to be able to go down into the valley? Oh, that was God's idea. The comparison is here, the beast going down into the valley, to God leading his own people down into the valley. How does a beast go down into a valley? Sometimes carefully, sometimes gradually. Why does a beast go down into the valley? Oftentimes you find water and refreshment in the valley. Here's a deer that's running and maybe been on the mountains and all over the top all day and a little thirsty. Getting to the end of the day, begins to make his way down towards where the water is. Where's the water? Oh, the water's in the valley. The water comes from the mountains and comes down to the valley. God leads us into the valley to find rest in him. Notice, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. You ever think about this? Springs are not usually located at the top of the mountains, but rather in the bottom of the valley. Notice here that the scripture points to God leading his people, not sending his people into the valley. Notice the Bible says here in verse number 14, it says, so didst thou lead thy people. Where? Into the valley. Wait, does that mean I'm not going by myself, preacher? That's exactly right. Jesus, God, leads into the valley. It's part of his plan. It's so that we will find rest. Secondly, he leads us into the valley to make himself a glorious name. End of the verse says this, to make thyself a glorious name. How's that work? Because when a believer comes out of the valley, he's usually sweeter. He's usually stronger. He's usually better. And what does that point to? I don't get that way on my own. I only get that way from being with God in the valley. I get sweeter. I get stronger. I get better when I'm with God in the valley. The provision of God in the valley. The second thing that is refreshing about truths in the valley is that God provides in the valley. Turn to Psalm 104. 104. Psalm 104 tonight. Not only does God have a plan, and part of his plan for your life, part of his plan for my life, is to be in the valley some days, some weeks, some months, sometimes even years, that part of our lives are in the valley. What happens there? Well, he'll be more glorified when I come out of it. And he'll provide rest in it. And he provides, look at verse number 5, Psalm 104, verse number 5, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, the waters. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valley which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. It goes on to say the wild asses quench their thirst. And what do we know about that according to Matthew chapter 6 when we take that truth? And if God doesn't, if he takes care of the birds, why not take care of you and me? If God's going to make sure that the beasts have drink, and he set up everything to work the way that it did, so there's mountains and there's waters flowing from the mountains down, springs coming down into the valleys for the very sake that the beast would have drink. God had all that in mind. That when he leads you and me into the valley, don't you think that he has drink for you and me provided? Don't you think he has a 2-hour devotional provided for Brother Scott? Don't you think he has the food necessary for you and the drink necessary for you in the valley? Because God's provision is in the valley. He doesn't lead us to a place where he doesn't provide. The provision of God in the valley. Thirdly, the prudence in the valley. Prudence in the valley. I want you to know valleys are, number one, inevitable. They are inevitable. They are coming, my friend. I don't mean to discourage you. Mountaintops come in life, and so do valleys. This is what makes our time, our valleys difficult. They are inevitable, but they also are inexplicable. You know, have you ever been through a valley that in the midst of it you could explain every reason for it? Oh, I know why. I know why I'm in the valley, preacher. No, that's not the way most of us talk. Most of us, we don't know why we're in this valley. I can't explain why. If we could understand why we had to go through the valley, it would be easier to take for all of us, would it not? But in the valley, we don't have all the reasons why. You're not sitting there making a checklist. Oh, yep, I knew God was going to do that. I knew this valley was going to come, and it came just for this reason, I know. No, no, it doesn't work that way. Most valleys we go through are inexplicable. We don't have answers why. Valleys are impartial. They come upon people that walk with God and they come upon people that don't walk with God. They come upon saved people and they come upon unsaved people. Valleys are impartial. But I want you to keep some things in mind as we look at one last verse tonight. Psalm 84, verse 6. Psalm 84, verse 6. I want you to keep in mind that mountaintops and valleys are temporary. They are temporary. They are inevitable. Sometimes you're not going to be able to explain them. Sometimes we have to run back and we have to say, you know what? Valleys are impartial. They're going to fall on all of us, good, bad. But remember that they are temporary. Psalm 84, 6, speaking of the valley of Baca, who what? Passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. I thought this was good. I found this in my study. Don't build on a mountaintop and don't camp in a valley. Don't build on a mountaintop. Don't think you're going to be on a mountaintop forever. But don't get in the valley and want to camp there the rest of your life either. These are temporary. Don't build your faith on the high, exciting experiences with God. There are some of those in life. Thank God for those. I've had the privilege to be a part of a couple revival-type services and weeks and some of that. See that break out and be part of that. See the hand of God work in those kinds of ways. But you know what? You don't build your life around those things. Those are mountaintops. Mountaintops don't last forever. But neither do valleys. Do not let your life become all about your valley. Don't camp there. Persevere. Don't forget where you're going. Remember, we are passing through. They passed through the valley of Baca. One moment, he knew he was in the valley. But one day, he knew he'd be walking out of the valley. Brother, that's true for you too and me. You in a valley tonight? Hey, don't forget your destination. Don't forget that someday you'll walk out of that valley. Remember this. God can use you on the mountain or in the valley. Your usefulness doesn't become less on the mountaintop or less in the valley. God can use you on the mountaintop, but he also can use you in the valley. Notice in verse number 6, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh it a well. Hey, make your valley useful if you're in one tonight. Make it useful. Share the comfort that you get with others. Allow me to give some timely spiritual counsel when you find yourself passing through a valley. Too many people find themselves in a temporary valley and they give up and drop out of church just until things get better. Don't do that. Stay in church in the valley. Minister to others in your church in the valley. When you don't know what to do in the valley, then the best thing to do is to keep doing what I know to do. When you don't know what to do in the valley, the best thing you can do is do what you know to do. And we know what to do. I'm going to stay in the Bible. I'm going to stay in my personal devotions. I'm going to stay in my church. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to give. I'm going to stay connected with my brethren until I get out of this valley. Here the person did something unusual in a valley. He dug a well. Water is scarce at times. It's always a precious commodity. And here in the valley of Baca, a well was hard work. Well requires digging. Well, still hard work today. Unless you got lots of money and you get a digger. Garland, you remember those well digs? Not so fun. But passing through the valley, what did he do? Made it a well. A well. Abraham dug wells. Isaac dug wells. Jacob dug wells. Wells are for others. For others. I share two illustrations and then I'm done. John Bunyan was arrested at age 32 for conducting religious meeting without permission from the state church. For 12 years, he stayed in jail. Valley. But I want you to know he dug some wells. Wells like Pilgrim's Progress. Wells like the Holy War. In Bedford jail, he was in a valley, but he was digging some wells. He wrote 9 books. By the end of his life, he had published 60 books before dying at the age of 60. Where, preacher? On the mountaintop did he write those? Oh, no. In the valley. In the valley, he dug some wells. Fanny Crosby lived in the valley of blindness most of her life. But she dug some wells, about 1,000 of them. They're called great hymns of the faith. Do you know any of them? One like Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Rescue the Perishing, we sang tonight. Blessed Assurance. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, all the way my Savior leads me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Aren't you glad that old Fanny didn't suck her thumb? Not going to be able to do much in this life. Got a deep valley. She took her valley and went. Got to dig some wells. Got to dig some wells that people hundreds of years later are going to enjoy. Dear Christian, I close with this statement. It's not what you go through that matters. It's not the length of your valley. It's not the difficulty of your valley. It's what you leave behind that matters. It is not what you go through that matters. It's what you leave behind that matters. If you're in a valley tonight, there's a plan, number one. There's provision, there's number two. And there's prudence in your valley. Remember those truths and find a well.